Tiny Talk, Episode 9. In this episode, Mushing and Identity. Welcome to Tiny Talk, a podcast about mushes and other text-based virtual worlds. I'm your host, Javelin, and this episode focuses on how we use mush to relate to ourselves. That's a pretty big topic, and I'm only going to scratch the surface in this episode, as I've only been back in town for about a week, and I'm going back out of town again for the next couple of weeks, so I expect we'll return to this topic in the future. I saw an interesting play last month called The Intelligent Design of Jenny Chow, An Instant Message with Excitable Music. It was written by Roland Jones in 2006. Here's a quick synopsis. Jenny Chow, a brilliant but agoraphobic and obsessive-compulsive Chinese teenager, adopted as a baby by a white American family, builds an android of herself and sends it to China to look for her birth mother. It's a play that's both very funny and very sad, and it also got me to thinking about mush and identity. Richard Bartle, in Designing Virtual Worlds, had something to say about this, of course. He wrote, "The celebration of identity is the fundamental, critical, absolutely core point of virtual worlds." Let me repeat that, because he does. The celebration of identity is the fundamental, critical, absolutely core point of virtual worlds. So he talks about what he means by that, but I'll say a little bit about what I think about that. On social mushes, and even on role-playing mushes, it often seems to me that we're constantly building android versions of ourselves that can do the things we want to do, to be in some fashion, maybe partial or idealized, the kind of people we want to be. Even when we go out of our way to construct characters that are at some level different from ourselves, those differences often become quite superficial. I might play a woman, but I play a woman who thinks about things the way I would. I might try to play someone who thinks differently than I do, but even if I succeed, my character will still share many of my core values. Laura Robinson at UCLA wrote an article in the journal New Media and Society this year, entitled "The Cyber Self: The Selfing Project Goes Online, Symbolic Interaction in the Digital Age." She argues that earlier studies of mud players that supported the idea that people are generating new, true virtual selves may not hold up in the more diverse internet of the 21st century, and that people regularly are signaling their core identity despite the guises they might wear for particular interactions. It can be fun to, for example, play a villainous character in order to further a story in a game, but one-dimensional evil is a role that has to be acted out rather than really assumed by the player, because it's not the way we are or want to be. Role-playing is fun, no question, and part of that fun is trying on new behaviors, new attitudes, new identities, combining those differences with our identity off-screen and seeing what comes of it. And I don't want to spoil anyone's fun by suggesting that they, you know, reflect deeply on their characters and themselves unless they want to. But if you do, I think role-playing can offer some interesting self-insights. There are two more relevant quotes here from Bartle. "Virtual worlds enable you to find out who you are by letting you be who you want to be." And "players play virtual worlds in order to be themselves." Oh, and by the way, if you have access to a university library or something like that, the journals New Media and Society and the journal Games and Culture, both of which are published by Sage, are quite interesting. So it's been a while since I've done news and notes, and I just have a few that I'd like to mention. First of all, there is an outstanding series of articles on the Electric Soup website by Sheshat on managing building on a mush, how to be a great building wizard. These are highly recommended, and I will put a link in the show notes. If you've started a game and you're trying to figure out how you're going to manage player building and staff building and so on, this has really good advice. Also, as I mentioned in the last episode, I just spent a week in Pakistan where I was teaching, and it was really good and really interesting. In Christian countries, you hear church bells on Sunday mornings, and it's very noticeable. And in Islamic countries, one of the things that stands out is the call to prayer, which is, you know, broadcast 5 times a day from the mosques. And it got me to thinking about mushing and spirituality, broadly defined. So mush or mush areas that are sacred spaces, religious and spiritual mushing activities, mushing by the religious, by clergy, by monastics, and so forth. So I'm looking for anyone who's been involved in some kind of intersection between mush and spirituality or religion to help me out with a future show. So if that's you or someone you know, drop me an email and tell me about it. And on another note, no pun intended, I'd also like to hear from people who listen to music while they mush. Tell me what's your favorite music to mush by and why. Well, the music for this episode of Tiny Talk comes from The Orientalist, from the 1000 Sounds Lotus album and Jamendo.com. If you're downloading this directly from the web, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Tiny Talk is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license, so you're welcome to share it as is, just don't sell it. Show notes for Tiny Talk are at community.penmush.org. If you have comments, mushing questions you'd like answered, or suggestions for future shows, send email to tinytalk@javelin.penmush.org. or leave a voicemail at 206-333-1542. Until next time, keep the text flowing.
Inna anzalna